I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome into another episode of The Memo. It is Wednesday, November the 18th, 2015. Brad Locke here, and Derek Russell is back, and so is his voice. Hello, Derek.
Hello. I was doing what you call modulating there.
Yeah, you got to modulate.
His voice was going nowhere and then came back and then nowhere and would come back. But
what happened to your voice? Did it take a
when the
vacation?
Temperature changes, it tends to go away. It says no thank you, and it hibernates for several hours.
Doesn't it know you have a show to do?
No. It does not care. It does not care.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for holding down the fort. Could you have done something about the weather, perhaps?
No. I woke up at like 1:15 in the morning. I probably would have slept through the sirens, but one of my kids came in and woke me up. And so I watched Matt Lobhan for like 20 minutes. And I was like, well, Matt's not yelling at us, so I'm just going to go back to bed.
Yeah. So he didn't tell us to go anywhere. So.
Right.
Well, it thankfully did not seem to harm anybody. Nobody hurt from anything we have heard. I've only heard of one building casualty.
Yeah.
In Chickasaw County.
Right.
So I think everything, for all the predictions of terrible weather, it sounds like everything was okay in the end.
Yeah, that's good. And now it's going to dry up, hopefully, and the rain will stay away. We know how I feel about rain.
It's going to be a wet winter, Brad.
Stop it. No, it's not.
You have to do something with your hair.
Well, I need a haircut. It's getting a little bit long.
I couldn't tell.
A little bit.
You mean tall?
It's getting a little tall.
Yeah. It's going the other way.
Got a bunch of gunk in it.
It's trying to get away from your head.
It's nothing compared to the head of hair on Riley Manning.
That's a beautiful mane that Riley Manning wears.
Thank you. I try to get it all to work together.
Riley Manning is on the show, as you may have figured out.
Yeah, I saw him over there come in.
I'm talking to our listeners.
Oh, you looked at me like I didn't know. I was like, no. He's right there,
because our listeners are wondering if maybe just Riley's just hanging around the show, but no.
He does that from time to time.
We're going to have Jenna Parsons on the show. We're going to talk about food. We're going to talk with Lauren Wood and Ellie Turner. Has Ellie been on the show before?
She has.
Okay, I couldn't remember. They're going to talk about the Bridal Expo that they had this past weekend. And got a lot of stuff to talk about, starting with Riley. We're going to come in here and drop some freestyle on us, right?
I don't know about all that, Bradley.
Well, anyway, you did have a story in today's paper in DJournal.com about a hip-hop showcase that took place this past weekend in Tupelo. I'd like to say Tupelo has a pretty decent music scene, but hip-hop maybe is not a genre that's done particularly well around here.
Sure, I would say that hip-hop probably has its roots in urban locations, and so in rural North Mississippi, it's probably kind of hard to be a hip hop artist.
Yeah,
and I talked to a lot of those guys and ladies, and that's what they said as well.
So, what was kind of the purpose of this showcase? They had it at Club Heat, on Saturday?
Saturday night, right? Yeah. So, the duo Ray Shremmerd is a super popular group on the Billboard charts. Had some crossover success in the mainstream music as well. And so typically when that happens, like when Chief Keef out of Chicago was signed to Interscope Records, another like probably half a dozen artists were snapped up out of Chicago into the industry just like that. And so Mississippi kind of has a similar opportunity since Ray Shremmerd is from right here in Tupelo. And it was their mom who put on the show. And she said that she just wants to kind of develop a scene for local artists, kind of provide an environment where people can kind of get in touch with each other. And, you know, hopefully this show was the first of many.
And, you know, I mean, obviously Mississippi has a great musical heritage, rock and roll, the blues, I mean, what have you. You think probably the talent is there. Like you said, it's a matter of just kind of stuck between Memphis and Atlanta and no man's land, musically speaking. But, you know, you're at the show, Riley. Kind of what'd you see talent-wise?
I saw a really good amount of talent. And, I was actually really impressed with the acts that I saw on stage. I think there were 11 people that performed. Yeah. I was really surprised to find that almost everybody's concern was networking.
Yeah.
And that sounds kind of lame, but I mean the talent is definitely there. I mean some of the artists I heard, I mean they sound the same caliber as what you might hear on the radio sometimes. So it's just a matter of bringing these people together to kind of foster an environment for local artists instead of going to Atlanta or Memphis where they don't know anybody and kind of get shook down for their money a lot of times.
Yeah, it's just kind of a matter of opportunity. And you talked about that, getting shook down, that, most of these people are just trying to still put food on the table, working regular full-time jobs maybe. And so it's a struggle to really, like you said, to make these connections. And if you go to Atlanta or Memphis, you don't know anybody. I mean, how big is that struggle for some of these people?
I tend to look at these performers through a kind of starving artist lens. Lots of them work regular jobs. Fast food. One of them worked at a sweet potato processing plant in Houston, 50 hours a week. And that's a heavy workload. Any time you're doing kind of manual labor like that, the pay is probably not going to be the best. They had good attitudes about it as far as, you got to go through hard stuff to get what you want.
Sure.
But at the same time, when you're not making that much money, the stakes are even higher when you do invest in like a road trip to maybe perform in an Atlanta or Memphis. And if that doesn't work out, then you're probably out like $500. And that's a much bigger hit than if you were making, a salary pay or something like that.
You know, one thing I love about hip hop is the stage names that they come up with. And some of the local ones that were featured at this showcase, Tank Pacino. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, man.
You had the group out of, was a duo out of Calhoun City, Cream Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. I really like this one, DJ Dirty Dopey Dog.
DJ
He was
Dirty
the kind of
Dopey
the organizer,
Dog.
Right? Or kind of the host.
He was kind of the MC.
Right, right.
His job was to kind of make sure everybody was on their feet and into it. He had a really interesting story. He's out of Jackson, Mississippi, and kind of grew up bouncing around between Memphis and Jackson, and then went into prison for sale of marijuana and got out in 2013 and just hit the road playing shows and whatnot, and did like 26 shows like right out of prison. And that's a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. If you had a hip-hop stage name, Riley, what would it be?
I'm sad that I already have an answer to this question. I think my name would definitely be DJ Jumbo Lump, because
DJ Jumbo Lump.
I really like seafood and crab and stuff. So
DJ Jumbo Lump.
That's right.
On the show with us today.
I'm trying to get that in my byline from now on.
Well, now you have to drop some freestyle on us at some point.
No, I'm a DJ. I scratch the records.
Okay. I don't know what mine would be. My Twitter display name right now is MC Log. What about you, Derek?
Nice.
It's basic, but old school a little bit. MC. Derek, are you okay?
I'm still laughing at Jumbo Lump. I want to see that. Derek? Yeah, I don't have anything. Sorry, nothing that tops that anyway.
Okay, well, DJ Jumbo Lump, Riley Manning, thanks for your time, bud.
Thank y'all.
So we've been talking about it for weeks, and last Sunday was the Bridal Journal Expo at the Kingfisher Lodge in Verona. We've got Ellie Turner and Lauren Wood here with us, that the namesake, the brainchild, the conveyors of the entire endeavor.
We'll take all of that.
The glue that held it together. How did everything go, ladies?
It went well.
Yeah. We had a really good time, and I feel like this about everything that we're a part of, but we work really, really hard and we're scared the majority of the planning time. Just like every meeting up to it, I would go through everything and then I'd be like, am I missing anything like huge? Like, I need to know if I forgot that everyone needs to actually use the bathroom. One of the things that I did forget was water. I needed to signage to people to know where they, yeah. I know that might be inappropriate. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I just wanted you to clarify.
But I'm just saying, all of the little details that go in with an event, once you get to the event, you can't scramble at that point. So, just the planning process of that, it was intense.
Well, all the planning that went into it, the Bridal Journal team, we all worked really well together. We all put a lot of effort into this, and I think it really paid off.
Yeah, I do too. There's nothing we have some things that we can improve on, but I think that will be, that's with anything that we do. Mm-hmm. But all in all, for our first year and really just an event altogether. We worked really well together. Everything that I depended on, like someone else to take care of and execute, they did it well, which is always nice. And yeah, I think as I was kind of standing at the door, as people, guests were like leaving out, and I was just saying, you know, did you have a good time? Did you enjoy yourself or whatever? And everybody just said raving reviews about the event. And then we also had suggestion cards, and I went home Sunday night and read through all of those. And a lot of the brides were talking about how like fabulous they felt, and we just made them feel so special. We had, you know, Rod Guajardo and Archie Scott, both employees at the Journal, in like tuxes by K's Creations, and they were in the fashion show, which was kind of their primary duty. But before the fashion show, they walked around with champagne like on a tray. Archie only dropped a few. I think Rod did well. He was on cleanup some of the time. But all in all, that made people feel really like it was an upscale event, made them feel really special. And that's what we wanted. We knew that going into it and with the location and everything, we were going to be competing against some of these bigger shows that are in our market. But we really wanted to hone in on making everyone and every bride feel very special and feel like that this was something, you know, where they could come and get a lot of information, a lot of good information about vendors, but also feel really special in their engagement and in their wedding planning with friends and stuff. And that was the other good thing. All of the brides brought like their mother or the mother of the groom, which is interesting, at least to me. And then bridesmaids, matron of honor. I mean, there were all kinds, but everybody brought guests. And so I think that was, it was kind of a fun event for them, a group gathering to take some of the stress off of wedding planning.
Real regal event.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe next year, just comment card, we should just actually have somebody to officiate there. And if anybody wants to go ahead and jump the gun and have a quickie one, they just go ahead and
get
married.
I think I would do that. After like being a part of the Bridal Journal magazine, I'm not married, I should clarify. But after being a part of like the Bridal Journal magazine and this event and all things wedding, that sounds perfect to me. That's what I would love to do.
And just the last one. And now that you've gone through all of these here, we also give you the option to just go ahead and take care of it right here.
Right.
That's fine. I am ordained, so if you need somebody to officiate, that's fine.
Upsell.
Right. Pay a little bit more, get married on the spot.
Yeah, that's fine. Takes care of all the effort.
Wanted to do a big thank you to Marty and Mimi Pettit of Kingfisher Lodge. They were really great to work with and an excellent vendor and location. You know, we had the venue here, had the event there.
That was a huge thing, and that was also another thing that was on comment cards, and just something that we all knew going into it, that having it at a wedding venue was really well received. Mm-hmm. People loved that, and it just created this nice ambience. We had like a live band and everything, and it just made it very casual, but also just very wedding-like and not so formal and like, I don't know if institutional is the word, but just very... it made it of more of a wedding feel. But yeah, Marty and Mimi were awesome to work with. I had not worked with them prior to this, but I mean, just anything we needed, they were, okay, we can do that. Okay, let me help you do that, you know. And they even like had people there that work for Kingfisher Lodge there the day of, directing people with parking and stuff like that, which they totally did not have to do. But yeah, Kingfisher is a beautiful place and they are awesome people to work with.
Sounds like it was a good day all over for everybody involved, including the Journal.
Yes.
So, yes. We'll do it next year.
Yes.
See you again next year then. Thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. It is Wednesday, as previously mentioned. That means it's food day with food editor Jenna Parsons. Jenna, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Still no food, though.
Nope.
On this table.
Don't think we didn't notice.
Oh, we noticed. Yeah. We noticed. That's okay. Lauren brought in some dessert from a cook of the week that she shot yesterday and let me have some. So
where was I?
I don't know.
Is Lauren Johnson from my job?
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, cook of the week, speaking of, in today's Journal, you can read about it. Susan McBride from Baldwin is the cook of the week. Interesting backstory too, Jenna. Most, Most importantly, she has a brother named Bimbo. That's what stuck out to me.
That's my DJ name. Just, there you go.
Bimbo.
I believe that is a nickname. Yeah, I don't know his real name.
It's okay. I don't remember if I told y'all about my Uncle Hosey, who was named Frontis at birth, but they didn't like do the birth certificate. And years later, the guy comes by, hey, you need to get this figured out. And for some reason, they'd been calling him Hosey as a nickname. So he just went with that. So his official name became Hosey because he preferred that to Frontis. Whatever.
I don't think I've ever heard Frontis before.
I had not either.
I don't believe I've ever heard Hosey before, for that matter. So it was a lot of information.
Yeah, this was like the 30s. I mean, what are you going to do?
We had a guy at the Journal that worked here for years named Hosey Holloman.
Hmm. How about that? Okay.
If you're going to have a name like Hosey, it's better for it being an alliteration.
Yeah, this was Hosey Locke, so my great uncle Hosey.
We need to talk about food. I'm hungry.
Sorry. anyway, yeah, but not only does she have a brother named Bimbo, she's apparently a pretty good cook and learned from an early age from her mother, as she put it, by osmosis.
Yes, she did not get to do much of the helping, but she got to do a lot of watching.
Right, and she was diagnosed with polio at age 6, obviously overcame that, and went on to the University of Mississippi and worked in the medical field. Right.
Right.
Right. Okay. Right.
And then she became a stay-at-home mom once her girls were born.
Okay. Okay. And she said that the Home and Gardens, Better Home and Gardens new cookbook has been a go-to for her. I'm assuming you're familiar with it.
I have it. I've given it to both of my daughters, my stepdaughter, my daughter, and my niece.
Right.
It's a no-fail. It tells you how to do it. It tells you how to boil water.
Really?
Really.
I can do that. Although
early
in our marriage, I managed to like burn water once or something. I was trying to boil water and just
let it boil out of the pan.
Basically, yeah.
Then the pan.
This is the guy that messes up ramen noodles, okay? I have no skills. I don't know how I even got through college. Probably be eating Frito and bologna sandwiches.
We know who cooks Thanksgiving at your house.
Yeah, not
me. Or who doesn't.
Yeah. Anyway, again, Susan McBride, you can read her story in today's journal. Anything else about Susan kind of stand out to you or her food?
Well, she was one of 5 children. 3 of them are gone. And not only did she have polio, well, actually, she was having fever and was sickly. They kept going to the doctor. And finally, one morning she woke up and she couldn't move her legs and she couldn't tuck her chin to her chest. And then they realized it was polio. I guess polio was fairly new. This was before, obviously, the vaccine.
Yeah, so she's 70, so this would have been back in the late
51, 40s. I believe. Okay. 51 is when she had, I think the vaccine came out in the mid-50s.
Yeah, sounds right.
She was sent to Vicksburg for 6 months, no parents, because they had other kids at home to take care of. And then Bimbo also was diagnosed with polio, and he spent time in Vicksburg as well.
Okay, okay. Interesting story, certainly. And it's kind of cool, isn't it, the kind of the backstories you come across when you do these Cooks of the Week, because you're writing about their food, but...
You are, but I don't think in all the years I've done this that I have ever come across a cook that had polio, and you just don't think about it anymore.
Right, right,
and,
right.
But surely, I mean, people had it, and there's still people walking around today that had it and were cured.
Yeah, yeah. And also your column today, Jenna, it's about potato soup, and who doesn't love potato soup? I do.
Oh, this is a really bad, fatty potato soup.
I don't care.
But I do give tips for lightening it, and I am going to lighten it the next time I make it. But the first time I made it, when I found the recipe, I read other people's comments, and they were talking about, oh, you've got to use cream instead of milk, and I went with the full fat, full loaded, and it was the best potato soup I've ever had.
Well, the first ingredient is 6 slices of bacon, so I'm in.
Well, and that's actually down. It should have been more bacon than that, but I'd actually
a half a batch, didn't you?
Well, I did, but I even used less in using the half batch, and it was still plenty. But not only did Charlie and I enjoy it, but I shared it with a couple of other people who also said they really enjoyed
it. We should bring that to the Thanksgiving luncheon tomorrow here at the Journal.
Perhaps I could. Mm. I think Charlie's going to make the little cheesy jalapeno biscuits that were in my column a couple of weeks ago.
Jalapenos.
And what will you gentlemen be bringing?
I don't know. Our oven's broke, and I can't cook. So
whatever Kroger has.
Yeah, pretty much. whatever Kroger provides for this potluck.
I luncheon. See y'all yeah. rising right to that occasion.
Yes.
Yeah, well, what are we going to do? All right, Jenna, thank you very much. Find her stories again in today's journal in the food section and at djournal.com. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, I have to ask, did you come up with a DJ name for me?
Yes, your hip-hop stage name. Well, now we've got a couple of possibilities.
Okay.
You go by W. Derek Russell. I'm thinking uh-huh. WD-40.
WD-40? Rod called me that, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah. My my dad's friends when I was a kid used to call me that, and then Rod called me that one day during a meeting, and
nice.
I informed him that that was a nickname from my youth. WD-40 works.
Well,
I get things done.
And then one that has been mentioned on here before uh-huh. in another context, Undercover Crackhead.
Undercover Crackhead is a great one, and I would be honored to carry the title moving forward. Sorry, James.
So you're going to have to drop some freestyle on us here before too long.
You ready for this?
No.
Here we go.
This will be the widest thing ever.
Charlie and I, no. We're not doing that. Everybody's been waiting to hear your middle name.
Yeah.
So I think it could be,
good
you
for
know,
them.
We've built it up for weeks on here. So I think that could be your DJ name.
Maybe. Possibly.
I don't want to say it if you're going to get mad at me. You get mad at me too often.
I wouldn't get mad at you. Actually, I think I could work it into a pretty decent stage name.
DJ Happy Harold?
No. Well, in high school,
DJ Hungry Harold.
My friends called me Dirty Harry.
Hungry Hungry Harolds. That's your band name, the Hungry Hungry Harolds.
Dirty Harry's pretty good.
Dirty Harry?
Why not? You don't like it?
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's actually a little too cool, and now.
That's right. DJ Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Or just Dirty Harry.
Okay.
Either way. Yes, Harold.
But not Wayne.
No, not Wayne. That's no good.
I don't know why you went with that.
That's too country. Yeah, that's although there's Lil Wayne.
There is a Lil Wayne.
But that works
for
him.
You know how I said Little? That's very... Okay. Lil Wayne.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
He's a... Yeah.
I didn't even do the Lil. Lil.
Lil.
Lil.
Lil.
Lil Kim.
Lil Kim.
Little Kim. It's fine.
Yeah,
okay. WD-40, I accept it with great honors.
WD-40.
Undercover Crackhead.
Dirty Harry.
That could be the name of my first album.
There you go.
Undercover Crackhead.
That first mixtape you drop.
This is
Undercover
terrible,
Crackhead.
Terrible.
By WD-40
yeah.
with special appearance.
DJ Hungry Harry.
By Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
I think it'd be better with an and. I think it'd be WD-40 and the Undercover Crackheads.
The Undercover Crackheads.
There you go. What about you, Chris? What's your name going to be?
Riley said that Chief Keef was already taken.
So we can't do that. Chief Keef.
I like that.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. Okay. By the way,
yes.
if you're curious about my middle name and why it's Harold,
uh-huh.
named after my grandfather,
oh,
who I never met because he died when my dad was six.
Okay. That
and left my dad orphaned.
It got sad. All right. And he made it where I would never bring it up again. He did a great job. Okay.
He was raised by an aunt and uncle. It was fine.
That's fine. That's fine. So was Spider-Man.
There you go. My dad is not a superhero per se, but he's pretty cool.
That you know of.
But he's pretty cool.
That you know of.
True.
He could be anyway.
He could be.
You never know. Well, we're sorry for Wednesday's show. Hopefully Thursday will be a little brighter for you. Maybe the rain will subside long enough for us to be a little happier and more upbeat on Thursday. We'll have even more news to talk about.
Yes, we will. And also on Thursday, don't forget, new episode of Double Coverage with Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU beat reporter Logan Lowry. Again, that drops Thursday afternoon. They'll look back at the previous week's games and look ahead to what's happening this weekend. Of course, last week, Ole Miss was idle, and Mississippi State got trounced by Alabama. So big games coming up for both teams this weekend, Ole Miss and LSU, MSU and Arkansas. So check it out on Thursday at doublecoverage.djournal.com or on iTunes or your podcast app.
Of course, next Thursday, no new episode because we'll all be eating.
Yeah, no episode of The Memo.
Yeah, yeah, we will. It'll be Thanksgiving, and we wish you well on our day off.
I will be, yes, eating lots of turkey and sweet potato casserole.
I said tomorrow would be hopefully a better episode, but let's be honest, we're going to be in here smelling food all day waiting for
right.
the luncheon.
Our annual Thanksgiving luncheon
here at the Journal, so and we're right against the back wall, so in the studio, so it's going to be wafting in here.
We're going to have to make sure we get the show done in time.
Yes, it's going to be
all the week. It's weekly going to be people
a,
show up.
It's going to be a speed show.
Yes, yes, we could do it live. Doing it live.
Okay. It gets kind of noisy back there, but hey, we want to tell you we've got a new email address. You can email us directly, memo@journalinc.com.
Yeah, send us your questions or comments or. I don't know, whatever.
You got something funny you want us to read?
Suggest stage names for us?
Yeah, don't do that.
Tell us your stage name.
That's okay.
That'd be fun. That'd be acceptable. Have people email and say, hey, this would be my stage name or something. Anyway, okay, real quick, let's remind you all about Thrive Marketing. It's a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Check them out online, thrive.ms. Check us out online, memo.djournal.com.
And on Twitter, @djournalmemo.
Yes.
You can find all today's stories and today's issue of the Daily Journal at djournal.com or online at djournalnow, where you can find those links even faster. Yeah. And we'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new episode.
We will. Good show, Chris. Chris.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Edit. Looked me dead in the eye. Edit. No, don't edit that. Don't you dare edit that. I need that for all time as a reminder.
Good show, Derek.
No.
Just edit that in there, Chris. You got it? Good. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
Fantastic.
Good show, Podgator.
Goodbye, everybody.